but they're writing it down in heaven because it's against the law. Okay? And all crimes, spiritual crimes, are punishable by death. The only way you can be released from those crimes is if someone comes in and pays the price for the crime that you did it. And that's what Jesus Christ is all about. Write it down as spirit. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is this. It's not like I use the curse word and then I said the Holy Spirit. Or I said something bad against the Holy Spirit. What Jesus was telling them is that I'm going to leave. The Holy Spirit is going to come. And I know that the world has rejected God. And now Jesus is here. And the world is rejecting me. But when I leave, I'm sending one more messenger. And that's the Holy Spirit. And he will teach you about Jesus.
Yes.
If you reject his message, you will not be forgiven here or the next. Because it is a spiritual crime punishable by death. You don't have the right to tell the God who created you, I don't need your son.
Amen.
Amen.
You can do it. I mean, because we have free will. You can do it whenever you want. You have a free will, right? Amen. You can do it. I mean, you can rob a bank. You can do whatever you want. You can do it, but you better know it is a spiritual crime. And if you leave this earth without God, if you leave this earth without confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have committed a spiritual crime punishable by death. Why? Because you are responsible partly for his death. Why? He died for sin. Who in here has never sinned? Okay, then you're guilty, all of you.
Yep.
All right?
Amen.
Now, you're not guilty of murder because murder is like you did it on purpose. You're guilty of what they call manslaughter. Okay? You did it, but you didn't really mean to do it. So God holds each one of us responsible to come to Christ, and he's made it easy, okay? You don't have to do something great to come to Christ. So let's begin here at John chapter 3 because we want to establish this. John chapter 3. And we're in verse 1, and it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. Glasses.
Uh-huh.
You can pretend you're 21. But at some time,
it's going to tell off on you.
It's going to tell on you. Okay. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. No one could perform the miracles and signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. How can a man be born when he's old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, that no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of the water and of the Spirit. Now, when he says that, he's talking about born of the flesh and born of the Spirit, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, he says, flesh gives birth to flesh.
Right.
Your mother and father gave birth to you.
Right.
You've been born once. That's what the song was about, right?
Yeah, right.
Born once, die twice, right?
Right.
Your parents gave birth to you. You've been born of the flesh. Jesus says, born of the flesh is being born of the flesh. And it says here, but the Spirit gives birth to spirits.
Right.
So when you're born, you have a spirit, but in the eyes of God, it's a dead spirit because it's not connected to God until you connect him, okay? So you have to connect yourself to God. That is every human being that lives on the earth responsibility. Don't you leave here until you get connected to God. That's what the shirt is all about. Christ, the missing piece, right?
Yes.
If you don't have that piece, you've committed a spiritual crime. Okay, let's continue. It says, you should not be surprised by me saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear it sound, but you cannot, I'm sorry. It says, you should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear it sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So being born of the Spirit is mandatory.
Yes.
Okay? Now, let's go to Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Because I know, some people think, like we saw a guy on the way over here, on the way on the plane, he had a shirt that said, spiritual gangster. So I'm thinking, oh, this guy's a Christian, let me go and talk to him. That guy was into yoga. I'm telling him, oh, the church is here, blah, blah, he's like, Jesus. He didn't know anything about Jesus. His whole thing, he's wearing a shirt that says spiritual gangster. We all got excited, thought he was a Christian.
Yeah.
That means he thinks there's another way to be connected to God other than Jesus.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But listen what the scripture says. Acts chapter 12, 4 verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So therefore there's no other name.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Tahir was telling me, religion is not from God, is it? There's really no such thing as religion. You are absolutely right.
Yes.
There is no such thing as religion. Because if you would have asked Adam, what religion are you? He would have went, huh?
Yep.
Right.
Me and God just have a personal relationship.
Yep.
Amen.
And that's what God is looking for, that personal relationship with each and every one of you. You understand?
Yes.
If you don't have that, please listen. This is the first time for everything. We kicked a lot of people out of church. It was just the first time. All right.
What a night.
Come on.
So understand what I'm trying to tell you. I don't want anyone. It's hard. I don't want you to be like the world and to think you can choose. I don't have to believe in Jesus if I want. You sure don't. You absolutely do not have to believe in Jesus if you don't want to. You are more than welcome. Okay? You are more than welcome. It is your. We talked last week about will, right?
Yes.
The motto for the Satanic Church is what?
Do
what thou wilt. Jay-Z had the shirt on, right?
Right.
His motto is Thelema, do what you will. That is the Satanic Church motto. Do whatever you want. God's motto is submit your will to me.
Yes.
So that you gotta say, you know what? I would like to do what I want, but I'm gonna do what the word says. I'm gonna accept Christ because I know it's a spiritual crime to leave here without it, okay? So, I want us to talk about one other thing. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, we're going to be in verse 37. Who knows what a watchman is? You know what a watchman for the Lord is? Okay. Now, listen. A watchman is not a prophet.
Right. Amen.
A watchman for the Lord is, when I see danger, it's my responsibility to tell you so that you can get out of the way of danger.
Amen.
Okay?
Yes.
I am a watchman. When I see it coming, I better start barking.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I better not be a mute dog.
Right.
Because in I think it's Jeremiah, he says a lot of his watchmen have become mute dogs.
Yeah.
They see trouble coming and they're quiet. They're just laying there doing nothing.
Right.
If I see the trouble coming, I've got to let you know. So what are we talking about? What trouble are we looking for? Because Jesus told us to watch.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, let's look at what we're looking for. We're verse 37.
Amen.
And it says here, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other one left. Okay?
Amen.
Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other one left. Yeah. Now, in my Bible is written in red, so Jesus is the one who's talking.
Bless your heart.
Who wrote the Bible? God wrote the Bible. Is it possible for God to lie?
No.
The scripture says it is impossible for God to lie.
Amen.
So I'm going to tell you something that I know 100% is going to happen. And I'm not being a prophet. I'm just reading what the Bible says. Amen. One day, a group of people will be sitting in a room like this. One will be taken and the other one will be left.
Yep. Yeah.
Two friends will be walking through the park.
Yeah.
One will be taken and the other one will be left.
Yes.
God promises you that this day is coming upon the earth.
Amen.
Amen.
What's going to happen after that moment? The whole earth is going to turn upside down and be in tribulation, and there's going to be more trouble here than you've ever seen.
Yes.
Okay? And I'm not talking about an earthquake here or fire there. I'm talking about continuous trouble for 7 years.
Amen.
God is trying to spare you from that moment.
Yes.
How is he trying to spare you? First of all, I want to tell you this. I am not a watchman for people who haven't found the missing piece.
Amen.
You understand?
Yeah.
I am not their watchman. I am a watchman for people who have found Christ.
Yeah.
To tell them to stay in relationship. Amen. And stay close to God.
Yeah.
Because we have a problem. People meet people and then they walk away. And then the next time they see them 5 years later, they running up to them and say, hey, how's it going? You ever have somebody do that to you?
Uh-huh.
I remember I met you like 3 years ago. We were at a party and I saw you and we talked and you like, I don't remember you. People meet God like that. People meet Jesus like that.
Yeah.
Lord Jesus, come in my life. Be like, I'm getting baptized today. And then for 4 years, God don't hear from them.
Wow.
Then something happens. They go to heaven. And it's like, hey, God, remember me. Let me in your house. And he goes, away from me. I don't know you. You understand?
Amen.
Listen. Relationships are meant to be cultivated and continued.
Yes.
God doesn't start a relationship in you so that you can walk away and never speak to him again.
Amen.
That's just common sense, right?
Amen.
So you think, oh yeah. Did you accept Jesus? Yeah, man, I accepted Jesus like 12 years ago. So you read your Bible? Nah.
Right.
Where you fellowship at? I don't.
Right.
He said, well, when do you pray? Yeah. When I'm in trouble.
Right.
So it's like you don't really have a relationship. You just met somebody.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And to God, that don't make sense.
Right.
Because you wouldn't let nobody do that to you.
Right.
If you just met them and then they show up 5 years later going, can I come in? You got any Kool-Aid? Can we watch it? You go out, now I don't even remember you.
Right.
Right? So the relationship is meant to be cultivated.
Yes.
Okay? Every day after me and my wife met, I don't remember a day that we didn't either talk on the phone or we weren't together.
Amen.
Because we were building a relationship. And God expects the exact same thing from us.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes. Amen.
So, the day is coming. Two will be in one place. One will be taken. You guys know about the tribulation, right?
Yes.
That day is coming.
Yes.
Okay? You can't use someone else's ticket to get into the game.
Amen.
Do not say, my parents got saved when I was little and I've always gone to church.
Amen.
I'm trying to ask you, when were you born again?
Amen.
Because you have to have a birthday.
Right.
Right.
If I ask you, when's your birthday? When were you born? You don't say, well, my parents have always been here. Because that don't count for you. I want to know your birthday.
Right.
When were you, when were you saved? Right? I want to know, when were you saved? And now, so we have to understand something. Look, you can't commit this one spiritual crime that will cost you your life. You can't accept Christ, walk away from him, and then never speak to him again. And then, how many of you would let somebody come in your house? You haven't seen him in 10 years, you don't know him. I mean, you met him once, and you let him, a stranger, just come in your house and sit down and eat and hang out with your wife and sit around with your kids.
Mm-mm.
Okay, none of us would do that. But people die without ever speaking to God for a long time, and they just show up and go, let me in.
Right.
Amen, Pastor Sandy. Amen.
Let's go to another scripture. Let's go to Luke chapter 21. Chapter 21 of Luke.
Verse.
I wanna start in verse 34. This is my favorite scripture in the whole Bible. It says, be careful or your heart will be weighed down with dispensation and drunkenness. How many here are like, you're full-time alcoholics, you hang out in clubs, trying to meet new people all the time? Nobody. So he's not talking to you, right?
Right.
Okay, let's continue. It says, with dispensation and drunkenness, it says, and the anxieties of life. How many of you have anxieties in life that you deal with every day? Raising kids, going to work. Okay, he's saying, also, don't let this get in the way of your relationship.
Right.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So he says, look, don't let this world weigh you down, the dispensation and drunkenness and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Was the flood just in the east, or was it over the whole earth? This judgment is coming upon everybody on this earth. So what's he telling you? You don't let yourself get out of relationship, because I know you're not a drunk and you're hanging out trying to find a new guy and a new girl every week. I know you, we're Christians, right?
Right.
Amen.
But anxieties of life.
Yeah.
Right. I lost that job, so I don't want to go to church. The kids are sick. I got no time for God right now. We got anxieties, right?
Yes.
Amen.
God saying, don't let those things get in the way of the relationship.
Amen.
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 That's how important the relationship is to God, okay?
Amen.
Now it says, for it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Okay? So make sure you're ready.
Amen.
How are you going to be ready? You want to stay in a relationship.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So what's a watchman? I'm watching out for the day. What day? See, because some of us young, you might have 60, 70 years left. Some of us are older, we might have 10, 5 years left, right? Some of us don't know. You might just get on, something happens, right? We just saw that like a couple weeks ago. You don't know. But if something should happen, I saw this cartoon, and the guy, the
pilot ran out and told the guy, the plane's going down, the plane's going down. He's crying. And the guy's going, and the pilot's going, did you hear me? The plane's going down. And the guy goes, turns around and goes, parachute. He's like, didn't you bring yours? You're flying the thing. Did you bring yours? So the fact of the matter is this. You don't know when, but if you got a parachute, who cares?
Right.
If you got Jesus, who cares?
Right.
You're going into something better anyway, right?
Yeah.
Yes. My mic?
Yeah. Can't move.
I'm tired of this mic. I'm going to throw it in.
No, don't throw
it. In Jesus. You see me bring that back to prison? All right. Okay, now look, I want to emphasize this to you guys. Let's go to Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7.
Amen.
What verse?
We're going to start at verse 1.
Amen.
Now, listen, you guys. When God said learn Hebrew, it was the most important thing that happened to me in my life, because at that time, when I started reading the Bible, I realized when people are translating, if they don't understand something, you know what they do? They go to the next best word that they think fits.
Uh-huh.
You understand?
Yeah.
Because they're like, that don't make sense. Well, what else can we use? Let's use this word, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the Hebrew is like Greek. It's very specific language, okay? It's telling you exactly what's going to happen. But in English, we try to figure out what they're talking about. Because, like, if we're all tripping, are we tripping off drugs or are we taking the trip? Right? But in English, if I'm talking to you, you know. Okay, if I say that guy's over there, he's tripping, and you see him stumbling around talking to himself, you just know he's tripping. But, so... We know English. Now I know Hebrew, so when I'm reading it, I'm reading what's being said and not what's being perceived. You
right,
understand?
Right.
I say that because I'm about to read this verse. Now watch. It says, what misery is mine? Micah chapter 7.
Okay.
I am like one who gathers summer fruit. Remember Elohim Akhlai. He's a farmer.
Yeah. Yes.
At the gleaning of the vineyard, there is no cluster of grapes to eat. None of the early figs that I crave. The godly have been what? What do your Bible say? Huh? Of, thank you. Sharon's a Hebrew student, so her says avad. Avad in Hebrew means disappear. In your scriptures, it might say swept away, or it might say perish. They used the next best word because they couldn't understand. How are people going to disappear? But they must have read Enoch. Something happened with him,
right?
So the scripture is saying here, the righteous have disappeared. What did I just read to you? Two will be in one place, one will be taken and the other one left. Okay? One will be taken, the other one left. That moment's coming. In Micah, he's telling you that moment's coming. Now watch this. It says here, the godly have avad, have vanished from the land. No, not one upright man remains. You know, there's no more righteous people in the world. All men lie in wait to shed blood. Each hurts his brother with a net. Both hands are skilled in doing evil. The rulers demand a gift. The judge accept a bribe. The powerful dictate what they desire. They all conspire together. The best of them are like a briars. And the worst of them are worse than a thorn bush. You know what the thorn bush is related to? Satan. Because remember the thorn bush was burning? That acacia bush was burning, but it was not being consumed?
Yeah.
When that bush was representation of Satan. God was showing Satan, you're going to burn like this, but you're not going to be consumed.
So the image of a thorn bush in the Bible is always related to evil. He says the worst people, the best people in this world will be like a thorn bush. Okay? So the world is going to turn like this.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to be here. Now check this out. It says, the best of them is like a bride, the most upright, worse than a thorn head. The day of your watchman has come, the day of God's visitation. Now is the time for their confusion, because now is the time for the tribulation. But he says, the day of your watchman has come.
Thank you. Can you guys hear me better?
Yeah.
Or was I doing okay?
I think you turned it off by mistake.
But we like the microphone.
I knew this was a bad idea.
There's no bad idea. Just experience it.
Hey, amen. Just different kind of
this is
kind of
no need, Mike.
All right. Testing, testing, 1, 2.
No, we good. Amen. All right.
All right. So here we are. He says the day of their confusion comes. Now, it's the watchman, okay? The day of the watchman has come. That means the day of all the crazy people that, you know, the end times is here. Those are watchmen. You're driving by the street and they got a sign, the end times is here, right? And you're going, ha! Guy's crazy. He's tripping, right? But these are people that have read the Bible, and it says that one day, two are going to be in one place, one's going to be taken and the other one left. And they're crazy enough to believe it, but anxieties of life got you thinking about other things. So to you, they're crazy, and to them, you crazy for not listening.
Yeah.
I'm with him, because you crazy for not listening.
Amen.
Especially when you got a Bible that has prophesied every event in the Bible. Every event in the world is prophesied in the Bible.
Yeah.
Hitler, prophesied in the Bible. Book of Hosea, prophesied in the Bible. His 10 henchmen being hung, prophesied in the Book of Esther. That, as a matter of fact, it gives you exact year that is going to happen again. The rebirth of the nation of Israel, prophesied in Deuteronomy, and then in Psalms chapter 19, verse 48, which is the 19th book, which is Psalms, verse 48, which is 1948. They were born in 1948. It prophesies that in the scriptures. Okay? So the Bible has always told the world everything that's going to happen. Someone said, hey, well, what about the African slave trade? Is that in the Bible? I said, yes, it's in Ezekiel chapter 30, verse 9. And I showed it to him, how God said, I'm going to go to Africa. And he says, I'm going to remove many of them from the foundation of the place, and I'm going to take them away in ships. And he specifically says Africa, or Ethiopia, or Cush, right? Yes, which is the Kush, same place. Yeah. So the Bible has predicted everything that's going to happen on this earth, and it continually is doing it. So the crazy guy with the sign that you think is crazy, he thinks you crazy because he sees that the Bible prophesies everything that comes true.
Amen.
So how are we cultivating? Are we letting Satan raise the kids? Or are we going to raise the kids? Mm. Because they'll do whatever they want, right? Let's go back to Isaiah 57.
Come on.
Isaiah chapter 57.
Good word, Pastor Sandy.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Here we go again.
Good verse, Pastor.
We're in 57, verse 1 and 2. Let's look at this. Watch this. It says, the righteous perish. Wow, righteous people. What does perish mean to us?
Die.
Okay? The word is avad. The Hebrew word avad means disappear. Who wrote here perish? Some guy who said, I'm going to translate this Hebrew into English.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, the righteous disappear. And he means, you mean out of thin air? That doesn't make any sense. Let's use perish. Okay, so they write perish. The Hebrew word specifically says this word means disappear. So it says, the righteous disappear and no one wonders in his heart. Devout men are taken away. Okay?
and which means a soft, which means collected like fruit. Devout men are taken away, and no one understands that the righteous are taken away to spare them from evil. So why did God take the one, two in one place, one taking the other left? Spare. The guy taken away is being doing what?
Spare from evil.
I'm sparing you from what's coming. Mm-hmm. Now everybody's in panic over the coronavirus, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Part of it's a scam. I'm just letting you know, okay? And part of it's real. But they're making it look worse than it is because they're trying to scare the world into a situation that they're trying to bring forth later.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just letting you know. Pray, Jesus got you. Mm-hmm. All right?
Right.
Amen.
Right.
No fear, Jesus got you. But understand this. That little thing is happening, and that's a small thing as to what God is saying is coming upon the earth.
Right.
You hear about an earthquake? It's a small thing compared to what is coming on. The plague that is going on, there's in the tribulation, they say a third of the whole population of the earth die in one war. That means 2 billion people die in one war during the 7 years of tribulation. That you're not supposed to be here, but God says, look, eventually I'm gonna have to come into the house and vacuum, and I need to get my people out of there. If you're still there, you're gonna have to deal with what I'm doing while I'm in the house. You
right,
understand?
Right.
I'm trying to get you out the house because
yes.
I have to come in and clean up.
Yes.
So your job is to what? Find the missing piece, first of all, because I'm not talking to people who haven't found the missing piece.
Right.
You don't have Jesus, I'm not talking to you.
Right.
You know why? You haven't been invited to nothing.
Right.
Wow.
Amen.
You haven't accepted the invitation.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get left if I didn't invite you?
Nope.
No. They left me. They never invited you. Right? But if you've accepted the invitation, then you can get left. So what type of people is God saying is getting left? People who knew him but didn't cultivate their relationship.
Wow.
They met him, but they never cultivated the relationship.
Wow.
They said, nice to meet you, Jesus. It's so nice to meet you. I've heard a lot about you. I'll talk to you later. And then they didn't talk to him again till they saw him again.
Uh-huh.
He's saying those type of people, because what God calls this is being a lukewarm individual. You understand? And in the book of Revelation, it says lukewarm people get spit out.
Yep.
Yeah. Why? Because on Sunday you go to church. On Saturday you went to the club. Right?
Right.
On Wednesday you go to choir rehearsal. Thursday you beating the kids with a sword. Get your kids out.
Wow.
I mean, my mother used a stitching cord, so we called it the sword. I mean, that was a sword. Derek, did you get the stitching cord? You know, she hit us with that thing, and then on Thursday, she'd be right back at Bible study.
Hallelujah.
It helped, though. You understand? And that brings me to another point. God is both loving and a judge.
Yes.
Yes,
he is. I like her.
Amen.
He is a judge, and he's very loving. That same mother that would get a stinging cord and whip us would give us a hug and some candy a little bit later.
Yeah.
Couldn't figure that lady out. I'm like, what is with her? Does she love us or is she trying to kill us? Derek, was that you that was bleeding from back there when she hit you with the shoe?
Oh, dang.
The shoe.
Oh, yeah. You remember that. All right. He's bleeding. She's out. I apologize. I'm so sorry I hit you in the back. Oh, I didn't mean to do this. God, after he, I'm going to buy you a bike. I love you. Yeah. So I just want you to know that Jesus is love.
Yes.
I love my mom, but look, she has another side to her. And what's the other side? If you cross me, if you commit a spiritual crime,
I cannot spare the rod.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
Come on now.
Amen.
Because your schools don't teach you this.
Right.
To all the young people, nobody's going to teach you what's going on in the world. Nobody's going to teach you how to have a relationship. As beautiful as Hawaii is, and it's beautiful, it's a drop of water in the ocean to all the beauty that God has created.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
This is a small planet. The earth in its fullness is only one planet.
Yes.
Right. Wow.
The sun floats in the sky and does what it does 24 hours a day, every day, with no problem, keeping in line with what God told it to do. And so you got to start thinking, the person that created me is really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he didn't build it. You understand?
Right.
Listen to me. He didn't get some workers together and build it. He just said, be. And it came. Your body works and heals itself from scars and diseases by itself.
Right.
Because somebody spoke it into existence.
Yeah.
You understand?
Amen.
When God called me to ministry, this is my calling. Prepare the people to lead. 2003, January 1st, 2003. Prepare my people to lead.
Yes.
Not build a big church. Not teach them how to get their breakthrough.
Right, right.
Prepare these people to lead. How do I prepare them to lead, Lord? Teach them to stay in relationship with me.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm not trying to teach you to be perfect, because we have repentance, right?
Right.
Amen.
You can repent, your sins are done, and God says he forgets. God is incredible, because if somebody do something to us, we not only remember, we can bring it up 5 years later. God says, when you repent, it's done.
Yes.
Yes.
Completely forgotten about. And so, God says, look, maintain your relationship with him.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Keep your relationship with him.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to give you a watching thing, because I'm going to teach about this on Wednesday. Jesus says, it will be as it was in the days of Noah. How many years before, when he spoke that to Noah, how many years passed before the flood came? 120 years. Listen, the book of Psalms begins a count of 120 years in Psalms 1. In the book of Psalms, what happened in 2001 is prophesied in Psalms 1. In Psalms 2, what happened in 1902 happened in 1902. In Psalms 3, what happened in 1903 is written in Psalms 3. All the way up to the present year, which is 120th year, 2020, right? Now, I could like pretend that I don't know this, because it might make you uncomfortable to think that Jesus is coming sooner than you expected. But a watchman has to do what? Warn.
Yeah.
You're living in the 120th year. What did Jesus say? It will be as it was in the days of Noah. In Psalms 47, read the end of it. It says the nations will meet together to make a decision about the people of Abraham.
Yeah.
Did the United Nations meet in 1947
yes.
to make a decision about Israel?
Yes.
Yes. Prophesied in Psalms 47. Did they come back into the land in 1948?
Yes.
In Psalms 48, what does it talk about? The rebirth of the nation of Israel.
Yes.
So God has systematically counted every year since 1900s up to the present day of what would happen. So you're at the end of a 120-year count. You've already passed the 6,000 year. I can't explain all this to you, because a lot of you guys aren't Hebrew students and understand what I'm saying, but Wednesday I will teach it. But you have to understand, your 120th year is this year.
Yep.
And it begins March 26th is the first of Nisan, which is the first of the year for God. You go January, but January is the name of a satanic god called Janus, which you guys don't want to know. But remember, your calendar was created by Pope Gregory, mm-hmm. All right? So God says your year starts in spring, and God's been counting the 120 years. We could go through every year, and I'll show you what happened. And now it says this year that's coming, Israel is going to be in trouble, and then it takes you to the next seven books. It takes you to the tribulation. Systematically, every year what's going to happen, the rebuilding of the temple, the attack against Israel, the return of Christ, is systematically written from Psalms 120 to 127. I'm telling you that because of this. Now I'm a watchman. Am I a prophet?
No.
Are we non-profit?
Non-profit.
All right. So listen.
That's funny.
Your job is not to go, Jesus is coming, I'm quitting my job, I don't want to go to school anymore.
Right.
The Bible says, occupy till I come.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Your job, my job is to tell you, you're on short time. Your job is to occupy till he comes.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So, as we reiterate what I've spoken, every person on the planet Earth is obligated to be born again.
Yes. Yes.
Through one name.
Yes.
There's only one name given to everyone in the world where they must come to Christ. One name. And Christ says, if you don't get born again, you will never see the kingdom of God.
Yes. Amen.
There is no purgatory in the Christian Bible, so there's no middle place for you.
Right.
It is a spiritual crime to look at God and say, I know that your son died on the cross, took 39 stripes on his back, and 3 nails in his hands and feet, but I'm going to tell you, I don't want him. It's a spiritual crime.
Yes.
Okay? You can't do it and get away with it.
Right.
Because you're on surveillance.
Right.
So understand, that's the first thing. The next thing is, the danger we're in is that the tribulation is right before us.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it? You want to stick to your religion? Go ahead. Uh-huh. You're like, hey, I'm Buddhist, I'm this, I'm that. Go ahead. There's one name.
Right.
Come on. Okay?
Come on. Amen.
There's one name given amongst men. And God warns us about cults and tells us what not to get involved in.
Right.
Okay? Because Jesus and Satan are not brothers.
Amen.
Right.
Okay?
That's right.
So you can't be Mormon. Okay? Mm-hmm. And Jesus was not an angel. So you can't be Jehovah's Witness.
Right.
And Jesus ripped the curtain so that man can go into God and speak to him on our own.
Correct.
So you don't need a pope or a priest.
Right.
So
right.
God ain't Catholic.
Right.
Like the lady came to our church, right?
Yes.
She said she almost died.
Yep.
She saw Jesus. And what she said Jesus told her? I'm not Mormon.
Yeah.
She said, I met Jesus. She wrote a book called I Met Jesus. He's Not Mormon.
Yeah, I remember her.
Listen, God don't do religion.
Amen.
Men created religion to control people. Right. God do relationships.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Stick close to yours so that when this big cloud party happens, we can all dance together.
Amen.
It's our choice. Praise God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.